कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो इन दैट फिफ्थ चैप्टर Fifth verse, when we were talking yesterday, Yel Sanghim Prapyade Sanghi Prapyade Sthanam Tad Yogair Abhigamyade Ekam Sanghyam Cha Yogam Cha Yapashyadi Sapashyadi. That's what we were discussing, isn't it? Yet Sanghi Prapyade Sthanam Tad Yogair Abhigamyade Ekam Sanghyam Cha Yogam Cha Yapashyadi Sapashyadi. Krishna is saying, one who knows that the position reached by means of renunciation can also be attained by work in devotional service. When he says, Krishna says, by work in devotional service, it means karma yogam. And who therefore sees that the path of works and the path of renunciation are one, see things as they are. So, there we were talking about this, that you have to remember that the 90% of our activities in this world, karma we perform in order to fulfill our desires or ambitions, whatever it is inside. There is karma vasana in every one of us, isn't it? So in order to fulfill those karma vasana and fulfill those desires, 90% of our energy is spent in that direction. It's just like this. If that karma vasana has all got exhausted, it will be just like a car which runs out of petrol. It stops there then. So, when the karma stops there, then after that, vasanas are exhausted, which means that on a physical level, only what is necessary will be done after that. Once the karma vasana is exhausted, then whatever karma we do after that, will be only what is necessary on a physical level, what's necessary to maintain the body. It will come to that stage. Because why it is so said like that, the reason is this, that we do a lot of things more than what is needed in life, isn't it? Whatever reason it may be, either due to circumstances or anything, just to maintain this body, it's not necessary to work so much what we do. What we do a lot more than just to maintain this body. That means, Krishna's point is that to maintain this human body, practically one doesn't have to work more than a couple of hours in a day. That's all it's necessary. Krishna has provided everything otherwise, what is needed. But because the system and our consciousness is generally so bad, and that we have made a big meal out of our this thing called karma. Isn't it? So that's why it got extended. And now it will become day and night. This business of karma is going on. So Krishna is saying that 90% of your energy is created by because of desires within us. And because of the different kinds of ambitions inside, we have created a huge enterprise of karma and got caught up in that now and unable to come out of it now. And every one of us are struggling because of that. So once this karma vasana gets exhausted somehow, and it cannot be exhausted on a whole world level, it has to be on an individual level, it has to get exhausted. Once the karma vasana is exhausted, then only what is necessary for the physical needs, only one will engage in. What is necessary, actually. So, once his ambition and desires are instead taken out away, then there will not be any devastating effect of karma on the individual. So, therefore, but in the first instance itself, if you tell anyone that you give up everything and engage in meditation, it will not happen. It is not possible because inside this powerful force, the urge for karma vasana is very strong in everybody. That's what is Krishna is saying in the next verse. 6. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukkhamaptum ayogadaha yoga yukto munir bhamma ajirenadi gachadi. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukkham aptum ayogada yoga yukto munir brahma najirenadi gachati. Translation: unless one is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, mere renunciation of activities cannot make one happy. The sages, purified by works of devotion, achieve the Supreme without delay. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukkham aptam ayogadaha yoga yukto munir brahma ajire najirenadi gachadi. So, Arjuna has understanding of some sannyasam, has understood something about sannyasam. But we have to know what is Arjuna's desires. Sannyasam is actually, it's a state of consciousness. So that is the first thing. Sannyasam is a state of consciousness. So, we have to remove this concept of sannyasam, what we have in our mind first. In our mind, we have one concept about sannyasam, isn't it? We say someone who is wearing saffron clothes or danda, and saying that he is a sannyasi. Everybody thinks that, oh, he is a sannyasi. He is not married, he doesn't have a family life, so he is a sannyasi. That's how we think about sannyasam. General perception of sannyasam in this world is like that. One who has no family life, one who has got danda and wearing saffron clothes and declaring himself to be a sannyasi. Actually, we have to remove that concept from inside, because all these things are external. Which one? This wearing of saffron clothes, carrying danda, these things are external. You can see Krishna has not touched that subject even in the Bhagavad Gita. It has not been touched at all about the dress, about anything. Krishna has never given any importance to all these things. Krishna is saying, sannyasastu mahabaho. Sannyasam is an internal thing. It's an internal realization, that is. So, therefore Krishna has not spoken about that, because anybody can do this sannyasam, if it is so simple. If sannyasam was so simple, anyone could become a sannyasi, isn't it? Abhinav Vidyadhartha used to say, like, this only costs about 10 rupees, he said, to become a sannyasi like that. He used to make a joke of this whole thing. So it doesn't cost more than 10 rupees, he said, because all you have to do, already you have a dhoti, and buy some saffron. It costs about 50 paisa from the shop, and make the saffron and dip it in that. And then carry a danda with you, and you are become a sannyasi. So then, after becoming a sannyasi, then they are engaged in mundane activities in many ways in this world. Some of them are, one person took sannyas, and after that he says he goes for cinemas, to the theater. He goes and eats food in the hotel, and he is wearing the saffron as well at the same time. and wanders around all over the world without any particular goal or direction. So somebody asked him that, are you not bringing any bad name for sannyasa ashram by doing like this? He says, no, everything is Brahman. So what is the problem, he says. I am also Brahman and everything else is Brahman, he says. And I am all-pervading everywhere. So this kind of mentality has come about from this. Because Brahman, because he's talking the language of the realized souls, in other words. He's just talking that I'm all-pervading everywhere. So there is a big difference talking from the mouth and the experience in the consciousness. So one person deliberately, what he did was, he invited such a Swami like that, a sannyasi like this. Why don't you come to our house for food? He invited him. So straight away he said, yeah, I'll come, no problem, he said, I'll come. Next day itself he was invited. So he goes, he doesn't discriminate anything within himself, where to go, where to eat, things like that, there is no discrimination. So he went to his house for the prasadam. So, and he was very hungry also. When he got there, there was no food, nothing was organized, and he was very hungry. So he asked him, why have you not prepared any food, he says. So that householder who invited him, he says to him, I don't know how to offer you food, he says. I thought of giving you water first to start with, but when I took the water, I realized that you are present there as well because of your all-pervading nature. And then when I thought of taking rice to cook meal for you, I thought you are present there as well. So because you are sarvavyabi, you are seeing, because he was talking like that all the time, that I thought how to prepare the meal for you. So that's why I have not done anything about it, he said. So this is the way misunderstanding the philosophy. You have to know where to apply this knowledge in realizations, in connection with the realization, and how to do vyavaharam in this world, how to deal with this world. Otherwise, it will all create a lot of problems. Simply learning something from the book and talking about it to everybody without practicing anything in one's own life is not a good thing. Therefore, first thing what they say is that the Krishna is saying here, karmam should be executed in such a way as karma yogam for many, many years. And it should bring the purity in the heart. And that is a way to start with. But we should also remember that it is not for everybody. This karma yogam is also not for everybody. In other words, we should not keep karma yogam as a concept. And karma yogam is meant for chitta shuddhi and to get purified from our desires and different kinds of karma vasanas inside. That is why Krishna says, sannyasastu mahabaho dukham maptum ayogada yoga yukto munir brahma ajirenadi gachadi. So, many karma yogam, with the intention of karma yogam, is the chitta shuddhi must happen, or purity inside. Desires must go from inside, because at the moment in our mind, I want this, everything I want. And once that has gone from inside, in a natural way, sannyasa mood will develop inside a person. Once this vasanas goes away from inside. So that is why it is mentioned that karma yogam is meant for chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi means this, that desiring things, desiring for accumulation of things, desiring for senses, enjoyment, various kinds of desires all the time coming up. That desires will naturally leave him. And that is the state of what is known as chitta shuddhi, the purity inside. So, one who has not executed karma yogam and one who hasn't had chitta shuddhi, in whatever way he takes sannyasam externally, and he will not be seen by the people as in the sannyasa state. one who has not reached that state by karma yoga. Through karma yoga, execution of karma yoga, chitta shuddhi must happen. Only then the vasanas will leave him, desires will go away from him. In such a situation, people will see him as a sannyasi. Otherwise, if he has got a lot of desires inside himself, and he is trying to fulfill all those desires, even after taking to sannyasa ashram, then people will know that very easily through intuition. They'll know that through intuition. Not by intelligence, by intuition, they'll know that. How is that intuition? How do we know when you meet a great soul that he is a Mahatma? It's through intuition. We don't know anybody. In the presence of that Mahatma, you will know. If that Mahatma has not much desires inside, that peace within him will permeate and affect us. That is how you know about the Mahatma's, great Mahatma's presence is what decides he's a Mahatma or not. But one who has loads of desires and loads of hankering for many, many things, he is also in a disturbed state. So if you are in his presence, you will also be in the disturbed state. So ordinary people who haven't even studied any shastram, nothing of this sort, even they get to know when they see a Mahatma. How do they get to know about this? Through intuition. Through intuition they come to know about that. And everyone has this intuition. Heart will tell them that through this person there is a certain amount of spiritual understanding coming from him. Spiritual realization is coming from him. So, without anyone's knowledge, one get to know about that. In fact, that is how gopis first started seeing Krishna. Krishna's presence was such for them. The cowherd boys were understood. But people like Kamsa will never understand. They could never understand these things. Why was the reason for that? Shishupala also didn't understand. So, a certain amount of chitta shuddhi is necessary to understand somebody else's position. That is how you understand someone else. That if our own inside is pure, then you will get the vibrations from that person. That you will be able to receive the vibrations from the another person. How pure he is, or how Krishna conscious he is, that you will experience from that person. So, therefore, because it is like that, one should not judge anybody seeing the external dress. External dress should never be taken into consideration at all. So, yogam, Krishna says here that through yogam, karma yogam, chitta shuddhi must happen. And what does that mean? Yoga means, while executing karmam, to come to know that I am not the doer and I am not the enjoyer. That has to wake up inside and able to function in this world in that state of consciousness, that I am not the doer and I am not the enjoyer. And when we realize that who is the doer, then immediately you should be able to look back and think about this, and only in that state you can suppress or you can bring the false ego under control. By thinking in this way, I am not the doer and I am not the, not by, from the lips, but inside. That when we come to that state, then we will know that the false ego will not pop up again. False ego will not. Otherwise, this false ego will come up and will start dictating again, I am the doer and enjoyer. So that false ego, not allowing that to wake up inside, is an important thing. Suppose you go and sat in a cave in the forest somewhere, and you are not getting angry there inside the cave. Whom will you get angry with? There is nobody there to get angry with. You can't get angry with the stone or the wood or anything, or with the birds. So, only when you live in the society, you know, that how much anger, lust, and all the bad things, jealousy, envy, these things are inside us. Only when you are in the society, you will come to know about it. Suppose you leave home and you're not in the society anymore. You're going to the forest and you are living somewhere. You won't know it because they won't come up. They only comes up when you are within the society. So, we require some stimulus in order that these bad things inside us to come out. You need a stimulus for that, isn't it? That stimulation is the society. Society is that stimulation. So only when it comes out, you know, all these things are in me, inside. So therefore, because it is like that, one should not withdraw from the society straight away. And if you go and stay in the forest with all these things inside, these things won't come out in the forest easily because of the environment there is different. But when you are in the society, you will know that all these things are in me, that I need to get that sorted first. So, therefore, one must understand, wherever we are, in whatever situation we have been put into by Krishna's arrangement, there itself, all what is necessary for advancing in spiritual life is provided. This is the important thing. Krishna has put us in certain situations in this life. Every one of us are in different situations, isn't it? Even although all householders, even among householders, we are all in different situations with different problems around. So we have been put into this situation for a specific reason that staying in that situation, how to advance spiritual life. This is more important. Not changing position from one thing to another. That's not the solution to the problem. That people are saying sometimes, oh, this family life is too much, I'll run away from this and go and join the temple or join somewhere else and everything will be solved. No, that won't. Because when you do like that, what actually are happening is that you are running away from a situation where you have an opportunity to know how much problems are inside. Whereas it's very easy to renounce everything and go and live somewhere freely and not worry about all these things. But then you won't know. Vasanas are still there inside. Nothing has gone away. Nothing has been cleared up. So many times people will say, I want to become a devotee. I want to engage in bhakti and engage in meditation. But then they will say, what can I do? My parents are not in agreement with it. They are the problems. They don't encourage me. They are always against it. And then they are always threatening me with their instructions. I'm not able to chant. I'm not able to engage in meditation. And always they are finding fault with me. Sometimes the wife will say, the husband is responsible because my husband is not right. Therefore, I have the problem. Or husband will say, my wife is responsible. She is not very favorable for spiritual life. Therefore, we have this problem. But in all these situations, one thing we have to remember, that why was I put into this situation first? That's the first thing we have to think about it. Why did this situation happen to me? Then that means keeping all these things what is around me, I have to understand that there is some reason behind it. Never to blame the situations. Never to blame the situation. Whatever situation one is in, if one is genuinely serious about Krishna consciousness, he can make the progress. Bhagavatam confirms that. Haituki apratihata yenalma samprasidati savaipumsam parodharmam yadho bhakti rathokshaji. Haituki apratihata yenalma samprasidati. That to fulfill the desire and to engage in the thoughts of the soul and in the process of self-realization, nobody in this world can stand against you. It's up to the individual concerned who has to do that. It's no point in blaming anyone else in this world except that we just don't have that serious inquiry within us. That's what Krishna is saying. Savaipumsam paro dharmam yadho bhakti rathokshaje. It is spoken in the bhakti language. In the jnani's language, it means exactly the same. Bhagavatam says, yado bhakti rathokshaje, till there is devotion to Krishna inside, which is considered to be parodharmam, the supreme occupation of the soul, is yado bhakti rathokshaje. is to have devotion towards Krishna. Ahaituki apratihada. And that devotion, what you have for Krishna, that cannot be without any reason and it cannot be blocked by anything. Apratihada. That means nobody can block that. Family life will be there, parents will be there, all kinds of problems in this world will be around us. That should not be taken as the excuse to not to engage in spiritual life. Ahaituki apradihada yena alma samprasidadi, thereby the soul finds its fulfillment. In that is a devotee's language. In the jnani's language, you'll say atmavijaram, going and looking into the soul, inward looking and understanding the presence of the soul and freeing from ourselves from the false ego. That's all it is. Jnanis is concerned. So, not to blame the situations. All situations has been given by Krishna. Krishna has put us into this situation, including the negative situation, positive or negative. So, that you will notice this. How do you know this? Sometimes, the greatest jealousy, envy and everything is inside the ashram. Not outside. Why is it like that? The big envy, big jealousy, within one institution you can observe among the so-called renounced sannyasis and the devotees. Greatest envy, which you will manifest, comes out very freely. And you start thinking, confuses everybody. People think that, oh, these people have given up everything. And how come they are behaving like this? People ask this question all the time. How could they do this? They have not given up anything. All what they have done is they have changed their physical position from one to another. That's what they have done. They have not done anything else. They have changed their physical position. Instead of staying at home, they have come and stayed in the temple building or ashram, wherever they are. But vasanas have not gone inside. So, till the vasanas are exhausted, and the vasanas, the stimulation will happen only while in the society. And therefore, living in the society and purification from the society is necessary. Fighting against all these things, we have to come out of it. That's what it's saying here. That situation, keeping that situation, all our emotions, everything, and will come out. The negative emotions inside, like all this. Lust, anger, greed, jealousy, envy, selfishness, competition nature. This is all in us, burning there. Society will bring it out. When you are in the society, it will come out. And when it comes out, you know that all these things are in me. You have to guard yourself against that and you will become more absorbed in the spiritual side of life. In other words, search for the soul will begin. That way. That's the only way to go into that search. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Whereas, if I, keeping all these things inside, I change the clothes and went and stayed in the temple, what will I do? The same vasanas will come out. The urge from inside is so strong that the same diplomacy, politics, everything I'll start as soon as I get there. So that's what's going to happen. So, therefore, Kabir used to say like this. He says, whoever actually criticizes you and offends you, you should keep them with you. You should keep them with you. Because if you do that, and they will always show you these negative emotions inside. And they'll keep on saying to you, they'll criticize you, and then you can see yourself how much how much you are getting affected by that, and how that will help you in your understanding where the change is necessary. So those who are praising you or glorifying you, they won't do that. They won't do that. As good as the those who are actually critical and who are criticizing you. Keep them with you. Pay them salary and keep them with you. Kabir says like that. You pay them money and keep them with you so that they will expose your negative emotions inside. So, thoughts inside, only if it is shown to us, it will come out and you will know what is inside us, how bad it is. in this fortress inside, all the enemies are there, isn't it? Those enemies will start coming out at that time. When they attack from the outside, when the attack happens, that is in the society, all these enemies from inside will start coming out and start fighting. So when they keep coming out, if you keep killing them at that time, then the fort will become yours. That means, inside this fort, when we say the fort, inside our mind, all these enemies are there. But only when it gets attacked from outside, these enemies will come out and start acting. At that time, you will know that how many enemies are inside, and the necessity to get rid of them from inside. This is the secret of sadhana. Sadhana secret is like that. So, in order that our mind has to become freedom from chittavritti, from the thoughts, and for that, it's not enough. By hearing a lot, it won't go, nor by engaging in meditation either. Vedantis will say to keep it under a stillness, state of stillness. But just like a poisonous snake, and you know these snake charmers, they have got that thing, isn't it? What do they call that? I don't know. It's like a ball-like thing, and then there's an extended length, and they play that, isn't it? And snake charmers, they use that. So, when they play that, the snake won't look like this and that way with its hood. It keeps playing like that. But the poison has not gone from inside. The poison is still there. So, so it will keep looking at you when it plays. It keeps looking like this. It moves its head up, you know. So because of that, the poison won't go. Similarly, but if you look at it, it appears as though it's in meditation. The snake looks like as though it's in meditation. It doesn't do anything. It just lifts its head and stands like that when it hears this. Similarly, there are so many things like that. Without knowing this technique means this process of reducing this vasanas inside, if you engage in dhyanam, meditations, that meditation won't go very far. That means unless the vasanas goes away from inside, karma vasana inside, unless that goes away, if you engage in meditation, dhyanam, that meditation won't help. Because what happens is, when a person is meditating like that, if you go and who has a lot of vasanas inside, and if he's in meditation, if you go and disturb his meditation, he'll kill you. That will happen. That's because the vasanas inside is so strong. You can see this. In many instances, you will notice this. Little disturbance in their spiritual life. They get so disturbed. Why? Because of the vasanas inside. So, they will engage many hours in dhyanam, meditation inside. But, as soon as they come to vyavaharam, transactions in this world, immediately you can see in their mind all the envy, all the anger, and all those things coming out one after the other. So, instead of finding these kind of emotions, asuya, envy, and things like that, they'll keep that with them and engage in meditation. So, that meditation is like a sleep. It's not much different than the sleep. What is spiritual life means? Spiritual life means, little by little, getting rid of all this anger, greed, lust, and everything inside. If it all goes away, then it is like a gas cylinder, where the gas runs out from the cylinder. So long as the fuel is inside, you can ignite it any time, isn't it? There is plenty of fuel in the cylinder. It will get immediately caught up in the fire. But any moment it can catch fire. But if the fuel has finished, the gas is over inside, then there is no danger. It's empty cylinder, isn't it? You don't have to be frightened about that, about the empty cylinder. Similarly, till the Vasana Chayam is inside, Vasana Chayam it's called, in the Vedantam they call it as Vasana Chayam. Vasana Chayam happens, that means all the Vasanas gets exhausted, the soul inside will come out at that point. The soul will start manifesting properly in a very powerful way. How? Because we have to be very careful, attentive in Vyavaharam, in our transactions, with very alert. So if anyone gets angry with us or gets upset with us for any reason, immediately we should be able to look back and think, who is getting upset? Who is getting upset? So if we are able to do that, you can see that who is getting angry? Who is getting angry? So is it happening to me or is it happening to somebody else? Immediately you can see that the anger has come from the envy inside. Anger has come from the envy inside. Otherwise, you can say, envy is happening to me. All the great Mahatmas were always alert in these things. They'll be very, very alert. So, sometimes you can see in the history of many of these famous sannyasis, what I mean, those who had the higher degree of knowledge and realization and who had been able to keep out of this world and live in this world at the same time, not to become a part of this world. That's how they lived in this world. So there's an example of I mentioned about yesterday that Chandrasekhar Bharati was talking about in Sringeri, the king of Mysore, Jayachamarajendra Vadiyar, the Kshatriya family who ruled Mysore for a long period of time, they patronized the Sringeri Math very much. Because Sringeri was always a center of learning, a big center of learning, great, great scholars, highly learned, highly realized souls lived in Sringeri. Sringeri itself came into prominence. How? Because the reason why Sringeri was chosen was that when Acharya Swamiji was on his travels, when he came to Sringeri, what he saw there shocked him. Actually shocked him. What was that? A frog, which was pregnant, was delivering baby. It was pregnant and the baby was being delivered. And a huge snake was giving shelter to this frog. This shocked him. Why? Normally, when a snake sees a frog, immediately it will take him and eat it, isn't it? But instead, seeing that there is no animosity between two living entities who are in a natural way inimical to each other, he said, this place is so pure. Every place has its own purity. There is no doubt about that. That is why when you execute spiritual activities in holy places, it has a much more effect, transcendental effect on us. Because why is that? Such places are places where great sages have performed austerities and penances. Sringeri is the place where Hrishyashringa, the sage Hrishyashringa, performed his penances. And it is from Hrishyashringa's name Sringeri has come. Sringeri, the name came from Hrishyashringa's place. Who is Hrishyashringa? Hrishyashringa is the place who was taken by King Dasharatha to his palace to perform the sacrifice. Putrakameshti, when he performed, to perform that sacrifice, Vasishtha Maharshi said, I need someone, a strong brahmachari who has never had any association with women and had never thought about any sense gratification in life. And they knew this brahmachari was Hrishyashringa, who lived in this Sringeri. So he performed his penances in Sringeri and Sringeri became purified because of that, his presence there, because he performed his sadhana in that place. That's why Sringeri became a powerful place. So it is that Sringeri where Abhinav Vidyadhurta was the acharya there at one time. So this king of Mysore, Jayachamarajendra Vadiyar, or your family, they had always been very considerate to this mutt and helped them financially whatever they needed. And because the king had all the control on all the land around, what he thought was, in order to help this mutt, he opened an account for them, a separate bank account for them, and put a lot of money into that deposit, into that account, and told, send a letter to this head of the mutt, Chandrasekhara Bharathi, saying that we have deposited this money in your account, in a separate account. If you want to use the money for any good purposes, you are free to do it, he said. You are free to do it. So, and a free hand was given to him. Imagine those days, how respectful they were to each other. Kshatriyas were so considerate. And the Brahmanas and the sages were also equally honorable behavior. Just because somebody, nowadays, when you see this, the whole thing is so degraded to such levels that the spiritual personalities who are asking for the money and those who are giving the money equally degraded. There is no relationship like that anymore, like the way they had those days. Kings were that responsible, that they knew that this is their responsibility, and they knew how to respect them properly. And those who were taking it also were not greedy in that way. They were also equally responsible and honorable in the dignified way they dealt with each other. So Chandrasekhara Bharathi received this message from the king. So whichever way you like it, you can spend it, he said. That's how he gave the money. So, and they according to his liking, in order to teach young boys to start a school for the Patashala or the way to teach the Vedic literature, or to help the Vedic Brahmanas who are poor and they had no other livelihood, or any other purpose for which it was given. So systems are like that. Chandrasekhara Bharathi was a person who was very inward-looking always. So inward-looking he was that he won't do any vyavaharam in this world. He was that Sankhya Yogam. He was a person by nature, he was that Sankhya Yogi. No interest whatsoever in this world what goes on. Always internally absorbed and completely fixed on the soul. For him there was no karmam left over to do anything. He was never a karma yogi. So many others were karma yogis prior to him, but he was different. So in a mutt, if you look, for example, there are 60, 70 acharyas have come and gone over a period of 1500, 2000 years. Some of them will be karma yogis. Some of them will be jnanis like that. So there will be a difference there also. Not everyone will be of the same mold. Some of them will be sankhyam. They would have gone through the jnana margam. And they would have reached that stage. So Chandrasekhara Bharathi was one like that, who was very much an inward-looking personality, who had no desire in nothing to do in this world. So his position was that he knew very well that if you are become a head of a mutt, karma will be there, isn't it? Because when you are a head of a mutt, you will have to deal with people, you will have to make decisions and things like that, administration, everything. He could not do that because his state of consciousness was like that. Become so inward looking that when you look at him, his photographs even, you get that gravity in the face, that nature in this face. From the very eyes it comes out so strongly. Even through the photographs you can see that. So that was his state. And he did not give up karmam. On the other hand, because he was so inward-looking nature, he won't engage in everything else. Even if it is Vaidika karma. For example, there are so many Vaidika karma inside, isn't it? In the mutt, there will be so many activities related to the... So, in that state, he was like that. So, this account what was opened, the king was adding money to it every year. Without looking how it was spent, he kept on depositing more and more money into that. And it kept increasing this account. He never touched the account of any from that. So what happened was, the amount became a large amount. And nothing was spent from that money. So one day, the administrator of the mutt, he goes to Chandrasekhar Bharati and told him that there is so much money lying in this account. Nothing has been spent. Can we not use it for some good purpose? The administrator of the mutt goes to him and says this. Chandrasekhar Bharati didn't say one word. He kept quiet. So again he put further, started pushing. He says, if you tell us something to do, then we will do that, he said. Very respectfully, they talk to each other. If you tell us what we should do, we will do that, he said. It has been lying there. It's no use to anybody. The money is just lying there. And what should we do? A question like that. So, normally if somebody asks a question like that, you have to give an answer to that, isn't it? So, Chandrasekhar Bharati says to him, let it be like that. Let it stay there. So, administrator says, again he kept pushing. Can we not use it for some better purpose? So, at that time, he's turned around and says to him, if you think there is something good you want to do, do it. He said, I don't have any objection. He told the administrator like this. So, you can see, if administrator could have done if he wanted something. But he had the respect for the Acharya, and he will only do something after getting his permission. Knowing very well, in modern world I'm saying, what would have happened? If you knew that nobody is watching you, you will drain it first. This is the modern world, spiritual world of today. This everywhere it's like that. So, but those days they were like that. That not that because there was nobody watching, we had that fear inside that we shouldn't do such a thing. That was there. So they said, Chandrasekhar Bharati says to him, if you feel that there is something worthwhile doing, do it. I don't have any objection to that. So Chandrasekhar Bharati asked him that, then he asked him that, haven't you got any sankalpam inside? Who administrator asked Chandrasekhar Bharati, do you have, again to know if there is anything he wanted to do? Who Chandrasekhar Bharati? So he asked Chandrasekhar Bharati, have you got any sankalpam inside to do anything like that? So, have any good thoughts come like that in your mind? Because when sannyasis and who are in a good consciousness, they will always get good ideas from inside. Good ideas means good thoughts will develop inside. Oh, if I had money, I could have done this or I had done that. Some thoughts may develop inside. So, did that not happen like that? So, he says, yes, since you have asked me, I'll answer you that, he said. Chandrasekhar Bharati's answer is like this. He says, 2 years ago, I had one thought in my mind, it came up to me. What was that? I saw a lot of Brahmanas. Those days there were many Brahmanas who practiced Brahminical culture. They were never went to work. They lived very poor and very simple, but very absorbed in the study of the Vedas and practicing the Vedic tradition. They practiced very... And Sringeri and around, there were so many Brahmana families who were lived there. Completely dependent on the mutt. They spend the time in the mutt, in the study of the Shastram, debating the Shastram in this way, and engaged in performing sacrifices. So, they were followers of Shiva, many of them. And so there is this famous yajnam known as Adhirudra Mahayajnam. It is for pleasing Lord Shiva. This particular Adhirudra Mahayajnam is performed. So, he said that I had a desire 2 years ago. When I see all these qualified Brahmanas around here, why don't I bring them all together and perform one of this yajnam? Adhirudra Mahayajnam is famous. Take last for many days and lot of chanting, glorifying Lord Shiva in that sacrifice. So I had this desire 2 years ago, it came to my mind. So administrator says to him, why did you not tell us that you had this money was there? We could have done that, he says. So he says, Chandrasekhar Bharati asked him, if I told you what you would have done, what would you have done? He says, you would immediately organize that straight away, he said. So, Chandrasekhar Bharati says, that's the reason why I didn't tell you. He says to him, that's the reason why I didn't tell you, because administrator says, is that a wrong thing to do such a thing? He says, Chandrasekhar Bharati says, there is no such thing as good thing and bad thing in this world. Good action and bad action in this world. You see, the problem, Chandrasekhar Bharati's problem was, he has gone far beyond all these things and he's speaking from that state. Administrator is still very much like us. thinking this is good, this is bad. All this duality is very much in him. For Chandrasekhar Bharati, duality has gone far beyond. He has left this world and gone away from here. So, he says like this, there is no such thing as good and bad thing. And if I keep some desire inside, any desire, if it's coming up, I become very conscious of that immediately. And if I have a desire inside and if I keep it inside, that means it's a cause of bondage in this world. I'll have to be bound in this world because that desire is still there. So, and when that desire came up, immediately I thought, oh, desires are still happening within me. And I decided to pull it out straight away at that point. And I threw it out. But on the other hand, if it has turned into a karma from there is a chain reactions will come from that. Karma will follow that, and therefore inside, and you have to root it out in the plane of the desire itself. You have to root it out before it manifests in the form of a karma in this world. That is the reason why I didn't say about that, he says to him. So you can see, administrator is thinking, oh, it's a good karma, bad karma. He thought money is there, why don't we do it? What's wrong? That was administrator's position. This Swamiji is saying to them that this happened to me 2 years ago, but then immediately my thought went in this direction that desires are still happening to me. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan almanyam almanatushta. Isn't it? So, any desire, if it is coming up inside in any form, it shows to us one thing, that we are not pure. We are not pure. That's what it means. Sarvan partha manogadan. It's all, that means the mind is still working. Mind is still acting. Atmanyev Atmanatushta, one who is situated in the platform of the soul, who is completely absorbed in the soul, he cannot have this. He cannot have that mind coming up and bringing desires further. So, administrator's position, he is seeing this as a pious activity and sinful activity and all that, good thing, bad thing. And like a Laugigan, Laugigan means a mundane person in this world, he is thinking and acting. Swamiji is seeing from a higher level. He is seeing in his own spiritual position where he see. I am a sannyasi and I should be in that state where no desire should come anymore inside. That perfect state of mind, in still state where there is no desires popping. These states do exist, that's what I am saying. They do exist. We think this is all imaginary. It's not imaginary. People have reached that state and they have shown to us that it is possible to stay in that state. So, therefore, Chandrasekhar Bharati says there like that. So, he says there that, therefore I didn't say about this. and then he kept quiet. So, the administrator didn't understand much what was spoken. So, he thought money is there, let us perform a yajnam to please the Swamiji. So he organized everything after that. When he organized everything, everything was over, and then he went back to the Swamiji and reported to him. Swamiji didn't even participate in the yajnam because for him that stage is all finished. When he has realized the soul inside, all these Vedic sacrifices, our perception of sadhana, everything, you reach the goal already. This has no meaning anymore to him, all the sacrifices. He is fully situated in the platform of the soul and experiencing the blissful nature of the soul. So much advanced that waiting for the body to drop and go and he is gone from here. That was the state where he was. So anyway, administrator did not take into account to such degree. He went ahead with the sacrifice thinking that I've got the permission now from the Swamiji to do what I want to do, what he wants to do. This is his desire. We should fulfill that. So he conducted this sacrifice, and after the sacrifice was over, he didn't participate. Chandrasekhar Bharati didn't participate in the sacrifice at all. After that, he goes back and reports to Swamiji about this. So he says to him, he reported that everything went very well. He says to Swamiji. So Swamiji says, thanks. Thanks for that, he says. So he says, administrator says, why do you thank me for that? He says, when you said that that the sacrifice has gone very well, this yajna, Adirindra Mahayajna has gone very well, I felt happiness inside. Swamiji is saying, and immediately I realized that I am still in the grip of this happiness and distress. That is why, because you reminded me of that, I have to say thanks to you. Not that this yajna has went very well. Not because of that, he says. So that is the alertness of a jnani. Jnanis are always very alert about that. Constantly watching their mind, what is happening inside when vyavaharam happens in this world. This is the summary of this incident. They were not looking, but when the administrator came back and told him that everything went very well, he says, thanks, he said, and I feel very happy, he says. So administrator said, why are you feeling happy about that? Why do you say thanks to me? He says, yes, because when you said that it went very well, immediately my mind started functioning and started saying a felt of happiness, and that made me realize that I am still getting affected by this so-called happiness and distress of this world. See how alert they are, you know, in all these things. And I am still not crossed that stage, he said. And you have helped me to realize that, therefore thanks, he says. You have helped me to realize that. Look at this way, that can we stay like this with such alertness in this life, in this world? We also say thanks to people, isn't it? Only when they do something to us what we want from them. We never analyze in such deeper levels about these things. But that is how spiritual life is. Spiritual life is that kind of alertness and jagrata. Tasmal jagrada jagrada, that alertness is necessary. Liberation is not a child's play. It's not a child's play. And nor spiritual life is not a child's play. That I do so many things in this world and everything will, but one who has not given attention to the chittam and one who is not given observing inside what is going on, he will not be able to make that connection with the reality. Vasishtha Maharshi says like this, lalayet na chitta lalanam. One should not pamper one's own mind, one's own subtle body. One should not pamper that. And just like small children, if you let them to go and play, the mother will always have her attention on them. Isn't it? Always the fear in mother's mind, will the child will go and do some mischief and get into trouble with fire, with water, all kinds of situations can happen, and the mother's attention is always on the child. And just like a witness, she will be always on alert. She is, even though working in the kitchen, all the attention will be on the child elsewhere. So if in this way, in the same way, in that sakshi bhavam, in that way, if you conduct the vyavaharam in this world, and very quickly all the vasanas inside will get exhausted inside. Vasanas will go from inside and the mind will become still. That means nisangatvam. Nisangatvam means no attachment anywhere, but at the same time that jagrada, alertness inside, then he will reach that state of sannyasam very easily. What Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. So sannyasam state is what Krishna says here. Without having any attachment anywhere, able to execute the karma purely as karma yogam, and without any ownership of anything and expectation of results, unaffected by good or bad, what comes from the action, in that way, one is able to live in that, the mind will become very quickly that nishchalatvam or that stillness will happen and he could be called as a sannyasi. That's why Krishna said that chapter, you remember, anashrita karma bhalam. കാര്യം കർമ്മ കരോതിയ സ സന്യാസിജ യോഗീജ നിരാഗ്നിർ നശക്രിയ. ദ സിക്സ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഫസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് അനാശ്രിത കർമ്മഫലം കാര്യം കർമ്മ കരോതിയ ഈസ സന്യാസി ഈസ യോഗി. സോ യു കെൻ സീ ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സീയിങ് സന്യാസി ഫ്രം എ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ആംഗിൾ. ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് ഇസ് മോർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് ഫോർ ഫസ്റ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് കൺസേൺ. ഈസ് എ സന്യാസി, നോട്ട് ദ വൺ ഹു ഹാസ് ഗിവൺ അപ് ദ ഫയർ ഓർ ഗിവൺ അപ് ദി ക്രിയ ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ്. സോ എവറി ആക്ടിവിറ്റി when the thoughts are coming inside, every incident, it will, the reaction will be created inside. There will be a reaction that will be created. At that time, we should observe our own mind carefully, what is happening to me now when these things happen. And then you will know in which plane we are, and how we are reacting to it. And you have to keep on observing this all the time. And we ourselves will know about us, about ourselves at that stage, things which we have not known about us before. We will know about ourselves, what we are, and we all have a big opinion about ourselves, isn't it? But when we come to know what we are, when we ourselves realize it, at that time, that is only can happen when you are exposed to this kind of situations, isn't it? Only in such situations you will know where we stand spiritually in our own inside, how much vasanas are left behind inside. So that is the point. Our false ego and our conditioned nature and all of our consciousness, all these things will get exposed in the world when we deal with. So little by little, if we conduct our vyavaharam, transactions in this world, constantly giving attention to our chittam or the subtle body, and that is the way to exhaust these vasanas first. Otherwise, with all these vasanas, you go for a meditation and sit there 5 minutes, closing your eyes completely. That won't help very much. Even if you do it for 5 hours, it won't happen. How in vyavaharam, daily transactions, how that jagrata or alertness comes, and every movement inside, how you are able to give attention to that, that is meditation. That is the actual meditation. Because the mechanically you can't solve this problem. Problem is inside in the subtle body. And that has to be solved on a different plane altogether. It's not by sitting tight in the Padmasanam and engaging in meditation. Dhyanam or meditation, yogam, is all like that. And if you keep on giving attention to that, such a person is called Muni. Muni is that person, one whose vision has gone very inward looking, andarmukhato. So he is always careful and attentive of what is going on inside. Such a person, whether he is wearing trousers or shirts, and he is still a muni. It is not the dress that matters at that time. It is his, that reflective nature of that person who has become very reflective. Not that he has to have matted hair or he is working in an office, but still he is a muni. So one who gives all the time attention to the mind and absorbed in the about the activities of the mind, and engaged in mananam, such a person, he is Muni. And he will observe when the false ego is coming up and when it is going away. So all these things he will know inside. Because he is constantly alert about his own mind. Where it originates and where it surrenders. Everything he takes note of that. Say, one who has got such a thing, such a person is called Muni. So that is why this verse is Krishna saying here, in this sixth verse, Sanyasastu Mahabaho Dukkhamaptum Ayogada Yoga Yukto Munir Brahma Najirenadi Gachadi. He is Yoga Yukta. That's why I say Yoga Yukto Munir Brahma Najirenadi Gachadi. Krishna is saying, such a muni, such a soul, even if he is in vyavaharam, in transactions in this world, and if he is, even if he is in the family life, najirenadi gacchadi, without too much delay, he will reach the state of Brahman realization. He will reach the state of Brahman realization or come to that state that he will reach that jnana nila. Jnana nila means the state of that that Brahman state. He will come to that state. Karma yogi or one who performs karma yogam or in vyavaharam, one who is not getting sticking to anything, little by little through alpavijaram, through this self-realization process of the soul, that one who creates vasana kshayam or exhausting all the vasanas inside, he will experience Brahma anubhavam or experience of Brahmam will happen to him very quickly. And while he is doing all these transactions in this world, he will come to that state of consciousness inside where there is total stillness inside the mind. That is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitalma jitendriyaha sarva bhodalma bhodalma kurvan abhinalipyade. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitalma jitendriya sarva bhodalma bhodalma kurvan abhinalipyade. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitalma jitendriya sarva bhodalma bhodalma kurvan abhinalipyade. Translation: one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Such a man is never entangled. So Krishna says, yoga yukto vishuddhalma. By yogam, what happens? Vishuddhalma. That means executing karma yogam, chitta shuddhi comes. That's what it means. Yoga yukto vishuddhalma. Because he has executed karma yogam, he got purified and vishuddhalma, chitta shuddhi has happened to him. Because yoga is the cause of chitta shuddhi. Karma yogam is the cause of chitta shuddhi. So if karma is not pure, no matter whatever we do at the end, because chitta shuddhi is not there, so this karma yogam is like tilling the ground and preparing the ground before planting the seed. This is karma yogam. Karma yogam is just like tilling the ground and prepare the land before we start the farming, isn't it? So it's karma yogam does that. That is what it does. You have to prepare the land inside. In other words, that purity to develop. And then after that, if you plant the seed of knowledge, it will grow very well. It will grow very well inside. Once the land is prepared properly. So that's what Krishna says. Yoga yukto vishuddhalma. One who has become karma yogi and he has purified his mind, purified the subtle body very well, and that becomes chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi happens to him. Yoga turns into chitta shuddhi. Yoga yukto vishuddhalma. And Patanjali Maharshi says there, you can see the same thing in yoga process also, it's the same thing. What jnanis are saying like this, through karma yogam, you purify yourself and prepare the land inside to receive the knowledge. Patanjali Maharshi says, yoga chittavritti nirodha. That is the definition in the Yoga Sutram. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram says this. Yoga chittavritti nirodha. Chittavritti nirodham. That is yoga. Chittavritti means thought waves. Chittavritti means thought waves, which are coming one after the other. So, Chandrasekhar Swami used to say like this. He says, in chittavritti, you should be very miser. You should be a miser. You should not allow too many thoughts to come invade us all the time. And if you get caught up in that, then it is not possible. So we have to become miser there. Then in that case, we will get a lot of energy inside. We say, if you eat well, you will get a lot of energy, isn't it? That's what we say. If you eat well, you'll get a lot of energy. Everybody will say to you, father, mother, granddad, granny, everyone will tell you, eat well, he'll say. But but nobody will tell you to reduce this chittavritti. None of them will tell you. Have you noticed that? All the family members, they'll all tell you, eat well, then you'll get the strength to do things. But the secret is not eating well, how to reduce the chittavritti. That is the secret of getting the energy. Energy comes from there. That's the biggest resource. The biggest source of energy is all the energy is drained in thoughts, in all the time. Unnecessary thoughts. Nothing comes out of this. This chittavritti, nothing comes out of it. It's a loads of thoughts coming, lot of information about the rest of the world, what's going on, and worrying about many things which has no significance. You are not affected by all that, but still you will worry about it. And this way, our life goes away like that. Nobody will tell you about that. So therefore, most of the energy is wasted through chittavritti. So chittavritti wastes a lot of energy. And similarly, if you sleep a lot, also you lose a lot of energy. That also you can see. Some people, they sleep so much, isn't it? They sleep a lot. And just like when there's a lot of chittavritti, energy will be wasted. And if you sleep a lot, energy will be wasted. If you don't sleep also, energy will be wasted. Energy will be wasted. You will feel lack of energy, isn't it? So that is why Krishna will say, in sleeping also there should be a moderation. There should be a moderation. And also same time, we have to minimize the chittavritti as well. If one can reduce chittavritti, it is the best. It's the best situation. So for example, one person is very busy in his work and he has no time for chanting. No time for chanting the holy name. In these days, everything is like that, isn't it? As soon as you get up in the morning, you go to work. At 7 o'clock, you are out. Before 7, you are left home. And you come home by about 9, 10 at night. So when you expect him to live a spiritual life, it's very unfair. It's not possible for him to do that. A lot of the jobs are like that now. That you go out in the morning and then whole day you are busy with people who have all sorts of vasanas in them, and you are a part of that. So naturally, when you come home at 8, 9, after a whole day's work and interaction with all these people, when you come home, you can imagine what state of consciousness that will be, and you cannot do anything about it. There's so much chittavritti will happen inside. Remember this one thing. Just like in the salsangam, how you feel your chittavritti coming down. In the association of those people, the sangam, chittavritti will also go up. Equally it works in either way. Salsangam brings the chittavritti down. That means all other unwanted thoughts goes away in satsangam when we discuss about the soul. And similarly, in the bad association, you don't have to interact with them. Just by their very presence, only by their presence, it will affect you. That's how it is. In salsangam also, you don't have to interact anything. By presence, in salsangam, you feel spiritually beneficial. Isn't it? Your mind becomes peaceful and you come to some stability inside. As much as it happened in salsangam, in dusangam, in the bad association, even if you don't participate, you don't eat with them, you don't chat with them, or you don't even engage in any social activities with them, just being in their presence, that vibrations will have its effect on you. That's how it is. That's so many things, salsangam and dusangam works like that. As much as salsangam also, you don't have to do anything together. You don't have to eat, you don't have to engage in conversation. You are simply hearing from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. So purification means the mind naturally comes to a peaceful state. You start, because it is the truth that is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Wherever it is discussed, no matter where it is, If it is discussed, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is the truth, in a natural way, Chittavritti comes down. Equally right is in the association of those people who have no spirituality in them, spiritual life, always talking about mundane topics, always engaged in a sense gratification, and always plotting and politics and diplomacy. Such people, if you are in their association, very soon your degradation also will happen. Degradation will happen. So powerful is this thing called association. So powerful it is. Thing called association. So, to such a person who is starting his work at 7 in the morning and finishes at 10 at night, if you tell him that give up everything, and he cannot give it up. It's not possible. It's not fair to say to somebody like that, to do that. So, for him, there's only one way. When people are caught up in that situation, there is only one way. He cannot chant because his mind is so disturbed with chittavritti. Proper chanting is not possible. Now what people are doing is, they're saying, we'll chant so that we can bring the chittavritti down. The other way. Instead of stopping the chittavritti and to advance the japam, they say, if you chant well, you can do better work at the office. See how things get twisted? The purpose is not to work in the office. Now, a lot of devotees are writing this also in the website. You can read this. Sometimes they're saying, if you chant very well, 2 hours solid chanting in the morning, you can do your work in the office very well where you're going to work. That's not the goal. The goal is not to go and work in the office. The goal is to give up all these things and to realize the truth what we are. That's the goal. Not to go and work in the office and to make more money. That's not the goal. So this is how things get twisted. So the point here is that to such a person, to tell him that give up everything, start chanting now and chant 16 rounds. You have to find your time. If you can't do it, get up early in the morning and do it. You can't force these things to anyone. It makes no sense. Because that person is caught up in his prarabdham. He has to go to work at 7. And he comes home at 10 o'clock in the night. Or 9, 8, 9 or whatever time it is. After catching the tube and train and everything, he gets back home at the end. Fully hungry, starving. He hasn't eaten anything all day. And you are telling him, you chant 16 rounds. Have you chanted your rounds? What will happen? That man will get completely upset. He says, I don't want to hear anything about your spiritual life. That will be the answer he will get. So, so, even if one does not have, one cannot do it. Or, even if he is an atheist, a lot of them will be like that at that stage. And even if he has no faith in Krishna, even if he has no faith in Krishna, he has no faith in the soul. But if such a person, if he is consciously controls his chittavritti, he can make some progress spiritually. At least if he understands this technique. He doesn't have time to do chanting, fine. He doesn't have time to read Bhagavad Gita or to take Krishna consciousness very seriously. He doesn't have time for anything. But if he knows this secret, that how to learn to himself to withdraw from this world and control the chittavritti, then he can make progress spiritually. Why? Because as long as he don't allow any emotions to develop intensely inside, and not giving attention to topics which has no relationship with his work. If he can do that, then conscious in chittavritti, if he reduces them, then his mind will come under control. Because what is mind? Mind is nothing but chittavritti, isn't it? Chittavritti itself is the mind. That's why this is called yoga bhavam, a kind of nature in a person always situated in a transcendental nature. What does that mean? I mean, it's not that you are chanting all the time or you are engaged in any kind of sadhana, but within oneself, a certain control of what to accept from this world and what to reject. To accept only thing what is necessary to carry out the vyavaharam in this world. Rest of the things doesn't matter. Just like when you're working, you can observe, you go to the tube station, you will meet some friends. Conversation will start. Sit in the tube, then the newspaper, metro, they'll give it to you free. You can read it. Increase your chittavritti more. And like this way, you keep on increasing and you get to office. So you are thinking at that time, oh, 2 hours I've chanted in the morning, I finished my spiritual obligations now. Now let me do my family obligations or material obligations starts then. So like then the rest of the whole day, you are busy with all these things. So Krishna's point is here that at least if you are engaged in the world and if you are somehow due to prarabdham, you are stuck in that situation, minimize the chittavritti somehow. Let the chittavritti don't increase inside, because that is what is called called the mind. Sometimes we stay at home, children are far away, you are worrying about them, isn't it? So in India you can see this. Parents are sitting there and worrying about the children who are in America. Worrying about the children who are in America. Similarly, while we are sitting here and discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you should not think about home. What's happening at home now? Is there anything else I have to do there? So those thoughts will not happen. Why is it happening? Because of the foolishness inside. How foolish we are in that way. And all these things is waste our energy in that way. So once that stillness comes, or Patanjali calls it as chittavritti nirodham, that if that stillness comes, you can yourself observe how it is developing energy inside. Urjam. Urjam means energy. How controlling the chittavritti, controlling the mind in that way, not allowing to wander around too much in this world, you can notice yourself that there is an energy developing inside. That's a kind of a urjam inside. And it is not in the, it's just like the body has, if you give a tonic, how a tonic rejuvenates in the same way, you'll feel very fresh. You don't have to do any meditation or anything. And somehow or the other, we have to develop this control of chittavritti. Even if when we are doing japam, japam is also doing, helping us in that way. While performing japam, chanting the holy name, what happens? The mind becomes still, isn't it? The mind becomes still. After a long time of chanting, the mind becomes still. The thoughts won't keep coming like that. So that's what it happens. And somehow or the other, if the mind is controlled in that way, and the mind will not get many branched. It will not go in many branches. That is why we say that keep on chanting. Keep on chanting. We may not go back to Golokam, Vaikuntham and all that. We may or may not get there. That we don't know what will happen. But this one thing you can be guaranteed, that if you keep chanting, the mind will become still. Mind will come to a still stage. And it is then that eventually, just like the firewood, when it burns everything, and eventually the wood also gets burned and it gets into ashes. Similarly, the mind also, after chanting, it removes all the chittavritti inside, and eventually the mind also gets destroyed in that process. It is at that time that the experience of the soul starts building up inside. That we start realizing that's a thing called soul inside, how it comes out. And when we try to reduce the chittavritti inside, one problem will happen. Without any effort, our own effort, lot of thoughts will come from inside. From inside, thoughts will start coming out. Just like you can see in the forest sometimes, or in the garden also, sometimes this there will be a small clay or something, which is like a form of a, you know, this where the snakes build up them. I don't know what they call it. In Sanskrit they call it valmigam. Valmigam means that it's a wooden clay-like thing. If you observe, there will be some living entities inside. Sometimes the snake shelter there. If you break it, from inside, loads of living entities will come out. Similarly, the chittam inside. If you start chanting, chittavritti will start, from lots of thoughts will start coming out. You just have to sit quietly somewhere and start chanting. You will experience this happening. So, when they come out, you shouldn't stick to them. Once you fall victimized by any of those thoughts, what that pops up at that point, if you alert, if you keep alert and start looking at it, where these thoughts are coming from at that time, and you, when like these living entities which comes out of this earth, you don't touch them, you just leave them. In the same way, when the thoughts are coming, you start realizing them, that it is coming from the mind, it's not coming from me, it's not coming from the soul, it's coming from the mind. And you should ask the question, for whom these thoughts are coming? For whom these thoughts are coming? And this is the way we have to go back to the soul, in this way. Otherwise, it's not possible. That all the time, the activities of the mind and the activities of the soul, we have to separate it out. All these thoughts are originating from the mind. And if you constantly, all the jnanis and mahatmas and yogis, they are consciously alert over this. When thoughts are developing, they keep an eye. Where is it coming from? It's coming from the mind. And who am I? I'm not that mind. I am somebody different. So, if we practice it over a period of time, it will also become our habit to observe things in that way. Normally what happens, as soon as thought comes, we identify with it straight away, isn't it? Oh, I thought about this, I thought about that. And, or somebody said like this to me, or somebody said that to me. I immediately react. Why? Because immediately I identify with the thought. Not thinking where the thought is coming from. Thought has come from the mind, not from me, from the soul. So, that alertness, and Krishna says here, as soon as you get the reply, it's coming, not coming from the soul, then you ask the question, who is having it? Who am I? Who is thinking? And then you will realize that that is the false ego from where it has developed. So in this way, we have to go back to that center of the soul. This is how you establish the presence of the soul inside, by constant analysis in this way. Every time thoughts happens, we have to know where the thoughts are developing from. It's coming from the mind. At that point, immediately we realize, because mind is not what we are. Mind is only one of the asat. It's not the sat. Sat is the soul. And I don't belong. I am soul. Krishna is saying like that. So identification with the soul will get strengthened in that process. So, and all the false ego, you can see, which was hiding inside, has come about at that time. False ego. But normally we don't give time for all these things, isn't it? We immediately react to the situation. And after that, we think about it. After the incident is over, transaction, everything is over, then we start thinking, oh, I should have done like this, I should. But never we analyze from a spiritual position, do we? We will only analyze it like this. So, suppose I have done something in a particular situation and the result was not so good, then how will I analyze it? In the normal way, what will I do? I'll go back, oh, what should I have done? I should have done in that. I should have said this to him, or I should have said that to him. This is the way we analyze. But that's not the analysis what's needed here. The analysis required here is an internal thing. That why did these thoughts come to me, and where did these thoughts develop from? It has come from the mind. It's not from my pure spiritual identity. So in that way, I can separate myself from the mind and move back to the soul. And spontaneously, somebody asks, we'll say, me. I'll put like this, my hand here. Isn't it? Put my hand here. Interior reaction. Everyone answers like that all over the world. Who say something, no, I don't want to do that, we'll say. I. You touch here. Why is it like that? So who is this I we are talking about, where these thoughts are coming from? So as soon as you start looking like this, if you keep on practicing in this way, that the mind, which is the center of all these thoughts developing, the mind will get eventually dissolved. The mind will get dissolved. So when vyavaharam is done, karma vyavaharam, that means in all our actions, this is the yoga sadhana. Then in the music also there is shruti, talam, layam and all these things. But shruti never changes, only the talam and layam changes. Similarly, all vyavaharam when we perform, so there is an undercurrent should be there like this in all the vyavaharam. That is that in the deeper level, in a subtle level, how to conduct vyavaharam. when we do transactions in this world, how to always operate from a deeper level. Not to think about the vyavaharam too much. That's not the point. Vyavaharam, whatever you may make it or you may not make it. You may succeed or you may fail in the transaction in this world. That may or may not happen. But from that vyavaharam, there is a lesson to be learned that is able to go in a deeper level and to see that all the reactions that is coming from the mind to a particular situation and to observe that where it's originating from and keeping separating that out from my real identity as the soul. And that is where the success is. Not that you have done the vyavaharam very well. That's not considered to be a success. Success and failure in your vyavaharam, you know what I mean, the transaction. Success and failure in that is not taken into account. Karma yogis are like that. Karma yogi don't take into account the success or failure of our transactions. Karmis, they take into account the success and failure of the transaction. Those who are taking account of the success and failure of the transaction is a karmi, because that's all what he knows. One who does not take into account the success and failure of the transaction, rather use that transaction purely as a vehicle to realize the self, he is a karma yogi. That means he understood that in this transaction, all the thoughts that has developed in me, centered around inside me, where did they come from? It came from the mind. It didn't come from the soul. And who am I? I have nothing to do with the mind. Mind is nothing but modes of nature, isn't it? Krishna says that. Mind is nothing but the modes of nature it is. And that is what is filling that mind. But I am not that mind. I am different from the mind. I am separate from the mind. That's why he says here that that constant one he gives attention on the soul in this way, that eventually that false ego will disappear and mind will go to that Sakshi Bhava. Mind will move away from that. And there is that stillness will happen. Avichinnam, they call it. When one who conducts all his transactions in this way, with full attention on the soul, he is a karma yogi. He is a karma yogi. Otherwise, Sharanagati. If it's not done like that, Sharanagati is the solution. Sharanagati means surrendering everything to Krishna and let things happen, whatever Krishna decides, to accept it that way. That is Sharanagati. My body, mind, false ego, if everything is surrendered to Krishna, then what is left? Only Krishna is left, or experience of Krishna, anushtanam, and that will come out in the inside our heart and we will get purified. So one cannot practice this karma yoga in that way. Then for the alternative for that is Sharanagati. That means you have to be totally surrendered to Krishna. Whatever that happens, it is Krishna's desire in that way. That's why Krishna says there, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalma. Isn't it? In that verse. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalma Vijidalma Jidendriya. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalma Vijidalma Jidendriya. Then because the mind goes and dissolves in the soul. Sarva bhudalma bhudalma, he says. Vijidalma jidendriya. Because when the mind goes and dissolves in the soul, that is when you become jidendriya. See, Krishna says, Yoga yukto vishuddhalma vijidalma jidendriya. That's the words, isn't it? So, practicing karma yogam, you have become Vishuddhalma inside. When you have become Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalma, then Krishna says, Vijidalma Jidendriya. So, Vishuddhalma, Vijidalma Jidendriya. At that point, what's happening is that he has won over his mind. His mind has come under control. And because the mind has gone and dissolved in the soul, Jidendriya, his senses have become completely free from sense gratification. No more sense enjoyment after that. Yoga yukto vishuddhalma vijidalma jidendriya. Then what will happen? because he has Jitendriya, Sarva Bhudalma Bhudalma Kurvanapi na Lipyade. Sarva Bhudalma Bhudalma. That is the next thing what will happen. That Sarva Bhudalma Bhudalma. In all living entities, what he sees is only the soul. Kurvanapi na Lipyade. Nothing, he will not stick to anything in this world. So this sticking to things in this world is the biggest problem. We get stuck here in so many things, isn't it? Sticking in everything. Sticking to the job, sticking to home, family, house. Everything is sticking all the time to something or the other. That sticking nature. So, Krishna says here, this mood, if it is in the sadhana, while executing sadhana, if it's there, then Krishna says, through that reflection on the soul, sarva bhudalma bhudalma. In other words, he will see that everybody else's interest is my interest. He will come to that state. That means he can only work for the welfare of everybody else. That stage will come to him. Sarva bhudalma bhudalma. That means all his activities will be for the benefit of others. And in same, Krishna is present in everyone's heart also. And he will say that for everybody's benefit, he will function in this world. So once the Shraddha, attention goes to the soul, automatically false ego will go. False ego will go away. We keep calling it a seva, isn't it? Seva is this, that for everybody else's happiness, I have to work. I have to work in this world. That is called seva. So, in seva, important thing is to know that Krishna is present in everyone. That is the very the center point of seva. That Krishna is present in everyone. Therefore, I am serving. Therefore, I am serving. In that consciousness, it has to be done. But normally it is not done like that, isn't it? Nobody is talk about Krishna as person in everyone. Seva is done nowadays with a lot of motives behind it. Many, many different kinds of motives. They call it as seva. And it's one of the funniest thing what you can see. That when they keep saying, they're taking salary and saying, I'm doing seva. I don't understand how, and they call it as devotional service, I believe. That's my service, they say. What service? You're working like a karmi there, and you call yourself doing seva. What seva is that? So this is all how things are twisted to suit to the occasion. Yeah. To friend of the public, to present themselves as the doing seva. And internally, it is a pure karmam, it is. So, in karma yogam, this is the main thing. It has to be, this is the principle of karma yogam. That is why when you are doing seva, you may not be able to do it in a big scale. Because we all have our own limitations, isn't it? But whatever that is done as seva, with this understanding, that will bring more benefit than doing in a big scale, which is done as a karma. That's why karma yogam is the very key. This is sorting us out first, ourselves. Isn't it? That you purify your own existence, chitta shuddhi must happen inside, and after that, we can talk about spiritual knowledge and self-realization. That all happens much later. This is the first step of purification, is this karma yoga inside, and that's not happening. Even there itself, we are stuck there, whether should we do it or not. We have a doubt there itself. And then we are talking the highest philosophy of Madhurya Bhavam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Radha Krishna Leela. What use is this? Complete waste of time. Because it's not understanding how spiritual life works. Spiritual life doesn't work like that. You can sit and theorize and write PhD on Radha Krishna Leela. What use is it? At the end, inside is full of dirt. That has not been cleared up first. So that's why Krishna says, Karma Yoga is the first thing where you plow the land and prepare the land ready for all these higher topics for discussion. Otherwise, it will not work. And this was always a system followed throughout generations by all the acharyas, all times. Nobody changed these things. It's always a process. You can't do anything about it. So, karma yoga is important. So, in other words, that knowing very well Krishna's presence in every living entity and with whomever we are coming into contact with, knowing very well there are also Krishna's manifestations in this world, in that living entity, if we are able to serve them in that mode, our false ego will disappear. If we serve them in that mode. Very few people were successful in doing that. And Prabhupada was able to create this mode to quite some extent in the beginning. He did very well with that. That's why in the beginning it happened in that way. But later on you can see it all turned out in a... Why? This understanding has gone. Yogam has gone from inside. Then Shastram is still there. Now we have more books printed, more books distributed. But the Yogam has gone from inside. So... A grihastha householder, he gets a lot of opportunity for all these things. A householder gets a lot of opportunity. Wife, children, father, mother, parents, and all the extended families, all, there's a lot of opportunity to get rid of this false ego inside. And in nowadays, family means husband, wife, and the child. That's it, finished. Family is over there. So it wasn't like that in the past when we were extended families and everything. In family life also, you get a lot of opportunity to serve each other mutually in love and relationship. But nowadays relationships have all gone in a different directions. But whatever it is, even this small family nowadays, what's happening? There will be a fight within these three members. There will be a fight and they're separated. Finished. So three people will go in three different directions. Husband will go his way, wife will go her way, and the child will go his way. And that's finished. The family life is over. Very simple. So why is that? And as long as situation is like that, this false ego won't disappear. Family life is an opportunity where the false ego can be wiped out. Because there is at least one unit operating, where within that unit so many false egos are together. So you have to tolerate each other quite a bit, isn't it? So if it is done properly, executed that service properly, without expectation of any results, whether the children will look after you at the old age or not, or wife will look after your old age or not, not considering any of those things, simply you happen to be there, Krishna has put you into that situation, do what you have to do and get out. That is the answer. If you do like that, Krishna is saying that the false ego will eventually withdraw from inside. False ego will go away. Because in that relationships, you will realize that if you apply all these things what Krishna has spoken, it will teach us that lesson. That I am spirit soul, nothing to do with any of these things. And it's an opportunity where the interactions of the mind you can observe very carefully with Jagrata. And the living entity's attention will fall on the soul. And because we are not satisfied that with any of these things, little things in this life, we are not satisfied. And we are talking about liberation, mukti, moksham, self-realization, all these things. What meaning has it got? So all these things, bhakti and everything will only happen when all this dirt is removed from inside. Dirt is removed from inside. Naturally, while living in this world, we acquire this dirt. How do we acquire? Because we also, because this thing called mind and intelligence works all the time, isn't it? So when we deal with people, we develop also this habit of diplomacy, politics and everything. It becomes a part of us. So we start applying that to everybody at home also. Politics and diplomacy starts. If you start doing this everywhere, what will happen? That is the reason how this all breaking up marriages also happen. Everybody become diplomatic each other and political each other. No honesty in any dealing. So that's why Krishna says that that when that false ego gets destroyed and peace will naturally come inside. The false ego is the one which does not allow to have any peace inside. So long as we hold on to that false ego inside, there will never be any peace inside. Peace comes when the false ego goes away from inside. So this, the opportunity to give up this false ego, it's a chance given to us in the society. while living in the society. That's all the society can help you. Otherwise, if you follow the society, thinking that society is going to take you to back home, back to Godhead, then society will not do that. So society, these are opportunities to learn these interactions in the society. And our interest is where? Where is our interest? Our interest is in the soul, not in the society. Our interest is in the soul. And if we give our attention there, our false ego will eventually disappear in this process. Krishna is giving us a lot of chances in that way. So many chances. Sarva Bhuta Hite Rada, Krishna is saying. Sarva Bhuta Hite Rada. In another place, Krishna says like that, isn't it? That Sarva Bhuta Hite Rada means taking into account that the happiness of everyone else is my happiness. It's not just words. Sarva Bhuta Hite Rada. That means while doing seva or service, that should be the mood. That let everyone feel happy about the service what I am doing. Let them feel the, let it be for the benefit of everyone. And even if I have to suffer in that process, somewhat I have to suffer, doesn't matter. I should be willingly offer that service to them. So in this way, a lifestyle the sages have given us. The sages formulated a lifestyle in that way. And one should, so that knowing very well that everyone is a manifestation of Krishna's presence in that body, and recognizing this and offering seva in that way. This is a lifestyle sages have given to us. A lifestyle based on this principle. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, that will talks about how a householder should live in this world. That it says there, a grahastha dharmam, first thing is that it should be for the benefit of the world, benefit of the world. And it also talks about certain very high principles there. It says before a householder takes his food, he has to give food to everybody at home. And not only everyone, that includes the cat, the dog, even the snake, if there is a snake living in the house, snake should be fed. Such an responsibility. Cat, cows, everybody. And we have no right to give distress to any other living entity. This is a householder's responsibility. And that's what Krishna says there in the 7th canto. Sri Narada Maharshi talks about this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. 13th, 14th and 15th chapter in the 7th canto. Sadachara Nirnayam, it's called, what is the life of a householder should be? What's the life of a householder should be? Now, this ashramam, householder ashramam, we have Brahmachari ashramam, Grahastha ashramam, Vanaprastha ashramam, Sannyasa ashramam. Now, you know that many devotees, when they joined Ishkon, they were very young, isn't it? They were not used to all this ashramam at that time. Many of them are now at the stage of 55, 60 and come to a stage, and they are saying now, many of them are discussing and thinking about this, how should we bring this Vanaprastha ashramam and Sannyasa ashramam into our own life? Our own life. If you read Prabhupada's purports on all these things, you will see in Chaitanya Charitamritam as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the necessity to take sannyasam, necessity to take to Vanaprastha ashram is all mentioned there. He very categorically mentions at some places at the age of 50 one should leave home and one should go with his wife, giving away all the wealth in charity, go to the forest and live a life. And that is what the ancient sages have done. All these things are, Prabhupada also mentions that. So there's always discussion about all these things going on. But the and if you read this seventh canto, initially Brahmachari ashram and Sannyasa ashram was discussed. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked the question to Sri Narada Maharshi after the Rajasuyam sacrifice that Varnashrama Dharma, what happened was, Prahlada's story Yudhishthira Maharaj heard from Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi spoke about Prahlada's life and Prahlada's pastimes. When he heard that, Yudhishthira Maharaj felt Yudhishthira Maharaj had a tremendous appreciation and love for Prahlad. He used to consider Prahlad as the best example of a devotee. He used to have great feeling for Prahlada. How do you know that? In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see. When Parikshit was born, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked a question, what will be to the astrologers about his chart? What will he be like in his life? When the astrologers told him that he will be a devotee like Prahlada, Yudhishthira Maharaj was in great ecstasy, knowing about Parikshit's birth. So from that day itself, Yudhishthira always had this strong feeling for Prahlada. So when he heard about Prahlada's life from Bhagavatam, from the Srinarada Maharshi in the 7th canto, he wanted to know how to develop that kind of devotion like Prahlada had. So it was then that Srinarada Maharshi stopped and said to him that Varnashrama Dharmam will help for this. Varnashrama Dharmam is helpful for that. So he started discussing Varnashrama Dharmam. This is how Varnashrama Dharmam comes there. Otherwise you will wonder what connection Prahlada's story and Varnashrama Dharmam has got. It's in a place, looks completely out of place to talk about Varnashrama Dharmam in the 7th canto. Varnashrama Dharmam is discussed in the Bhagavadam, in the Agadashi Skandam later, when Krishna talks to Uddhava about it. But in 7th canto, completely looks out of place to discuss Varnashrama Dharmam there. But the reason for that is this, that Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to know how such a devotion everyone can have in this world, because Yudhishthira Maharaj is always a well-wisher of all these people. He was the emperor, isn't it? So he was thinking how everyone else can have this benefit of the same devotion like Prahlada, why everyone feel the same mood of Prahlada in their consciousness. So at that time, Narada Maharshi says to him, Varnashrama Dharmam is the key for that, to develop, have Varnashrama Dharmam. So Varnashrama Dharmam is important for this reason. But when Varnashrama Dharmam was discussed, Narada Maharshi spoke about Brahmachari, Narada Maharshi spoke about Sannyasi. Both about Brahmachari and Sannyasi he spoke. Never said one word about Grihastha. So Yudhishthira thought, maybe I have no hope now. Householder, no hope in my life. It's only meant this liberation and self-realization is only for the householder or the Brahmachari and Sannyasi, not for householders, he thought. So at that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj came out and asked openly the question, why you did not say anything that has no hope for us? So Srinarada Maharshi says, no, it's not like that. And he took 2 chapters to talk about householder life, whereas the others all finished in 1 chapter. Here he took 2 chapters to talk about householder life. Householder life is an ashram where it's if it is properly executed, it can help a lot more than the Brahmachari ashram or Sannyasa ashram. Sannyasa ashram and all is very shaky situation. Brahmachari ashram also. But in Sannyasa, Grihastha ashram is a supporter of Sannyasa ashram and Brahmachari ashram. They are to be maintained by the householders. Although in the modern world, Sannyasis are maintaining everybody. So it's another anomaly of the modern spiritual world. It's so funny, many things what happens in this world now. Sannyasis have more money than the householder. They are maintaining so many ashrams and so they are not supposed to have any bank account, any money within themselves. They are supposed to be like children. Sannyasis are supposed to be like children. They will come, they will eat food and they will talk about spiritual life. They have no other responsibility in this world. But now when you look at it, they maintain so many families all over the world. So that is the contradiction between Srimad Bhagavatam and the modern spirituality. I'm not saying all these things to criticize anyone. What I'm saying is how far we have gone out of the reality of what we are supposed to be. When you follow the system properly, it's an unbelievably helpful thing to everybody. And in that society, there will be peace and there will be satisfaction. But when you twist everything and do things whimsically like this, sannyasi is taking control of the money, control of all the institutions, control of all the wealth, there cannot be any, because he has no, then his mind is all focused on the money and the management. How will he have time for discussing spiritual topics then? Where will you find the time? So this is the reason. So Krishna's point here also is we're talking about household life. Sri Narada Maharshi talked in two chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam about householder life responsibility. It's worthwhile reading through that. If you read that, you'll understand how far we are away from the reality. How far sannyasi, they say there, should not be enthusiastic about making disciples, writing commentaries on the books, building ashrams and mutts, all. So many verses there, talks about that. And we start thinking, does it not apply to this anymore? We are supposed to be distributing all these books and telling people. And when they read that, and they'll start thinking, is that what's happening now? Wait a minute. This is what's the reality in the world today. So everything gets confused then. So coming back to this, that in many cases, we are talking about this Varnashram Dharmam, that it is important to know that each ashramam and varnam has its own state of life, what it has to follow. So if it is followed properly, sarva bhuta hidayarada, that it will be beneficial to all other living entities. The discipline in Varnashrama Dharmam comes from the top. So if the top is ideal, then that peace in the top will permeate into the lower level. You shouldn't expect from the lower level the peace to develop. Peace has to develop from the top. Because there is no peace in the top level, we find all these disturbances in the lower levels. People who are supposed to lead the society and create that peaceful environment in the society, when they themselves are disturbed in their mind about the funds and the wealth and buildings and it's just the same passion, Rajogunam inside, working through them. There's not much of a difference. So, Chandrasekhara Bharati's story also, if you read, you will see these things. When he was a little child, he was very, very ill. So, somehow or the other, the mother was a very serious devotee. So, she was very much praying for the child's life and health. And when the child was 5 years, there was a mother also, who was looking after her child. The child fell very sick. So one day when Chandrasekhara Bharati was at the Sringeri Math, she brought this child to see him and to ask him to give some instructions so that what I should do about the child's health. The mother had a sick child. So the mother used to see Chandrasekhara Bharati as a personification of God. To such an extent, she had faith in that person. So, they came to see, and Swamiji was always absorbed inside, in the soul, had no interest in anything. Rarely you'll come out from the room and talk to people. So, there is a Vidyashankar temple there. If you go, you can still see there. Vidyashankar temple in Sringeri. When he went there, when he got there, the child, mother took the child there. And Swamiji regularly comes there to perform the morning puja in the temple. So when he came there, the child was also there. So the child started crying and mother didn't know why the child was crying. So, and mother was also feeling very unhappy because she couldn't see the Swamiji and talk to him because he was very grave and very serious. It was not easy to approach him because of this inward looking nature in him. He was so grave, never smiles to anyone or never shows any. And for him, everyone was equal in this world. Very big personalities will come to see him. Or if an ordinary person from the worker in the field comes to see him, he will look both of them in the same way. Normally, when some big person comes, we will give up everything. It's a VIP treatment. We go after the VIP business. But because there is so deeper realization inside, he won't do such a thing. So, at that time, when they were sitting there, the mother was also feeling very miserable. She couldn't get to see him. Child also could not get to see him. So, then they started walking from there, from the Vidyashankar temple. There is a Tungabhadra river goes there. When they were passing through that river, by chance, the Swamiji was coming opposite and she felt very happy. So she says to the child, God is coming. That's how mother is. Mother had so much faith in the Swamiji, says. So, so because it was like that, he came and Swamiji passed through. He didn't give any attention to anybody. But mother saw that he was going to the temple and he followed her. So, at that time, while following, there were two people who were sitting there, and in Tungabhadra River, they were fishing from the river. They were fishing. So they had that, what they call fishing tackle, isn't it? They put it and they were waiting there. So they have, before they start fishing, they thought they should ask permission because the whole place belongs to the mud. There's a huge area they have that still there. So they, when they saw there, he says, they don't know anything about spirituality, ordinary people, you know, just like people in the street. So they say to Swamiji, there's plenty of fish here. Saying to Swamiji, is it okay if we catch some fish here? That was the question. Look at the way the mind works. They think, here there's plenty here. So is it okay to catch some fish from here? They ask for permission from him. His replies to them was that, he says to him, that, don't you know that this is not a place where you engage in such activities? He says to them, because Swamiji says, Jivagarunim. Jivagarunim means kindness to all living entities. This is not allowed in this place. He answered them in that way. So, when he answered that, he was like Lord Shiva, anger for asking this nonsense, because they will not tolerate any kind of violence to any other living entity. It's not allowed under any circumstances. Giving violent and giving pain to another living entity is considered to be the worst thing to do. And therefore he said to them in a very angry mood, he answered them, this is a place where we show mercy to other living entities, he says to them. He said to these two fishermen who wanted to take advantage of the place. So when the child saw this with the mother, the child got frightened seeing his anger at that time. And immediately after that, he turned around to the child and smiled at the child. So Shirabari turned around and smiled at the child after this angry mood, what he showed there. The child talks about that. He says, ever since many years later, this incident has happened probably 70, 80 years ago. And after 50, 60 years, child grew up and he became an old person. And he's still saying, I will never forget that smile, what he showed to me at that time. He was so affected by that. He says there that, that smile was sufficient for him to, that impression that created in him. That he was not disturbed inside, but externally he was able to show that unhappiness to him in such a way. So the child later on, he grew up and he talks about that in his own books when he wrote about that. So the child got the message. By instructing the fisherman, Chandrasekhara Bharati gave the message to the child never to give pain to another living entity. He said that message was so powerful to me, the child writes later, who became after growing up. Message was so powerful to me. In my life, I learned this one instruction, not to give pain to another living entity. Says that. So, Mahatmas are like that. In their actions, if you continuously observe, somewhere you will find the instruction coming so strongly, even if you work hard many years, you cannot reach that realization the way it comes to us. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.